we are very privileged to share with you some of the good news because KLBC has been doing work in Nepal. Now, my wife and I were in, pastors in a church in Penang. It's called Reservoir Garden Baptist Church. For many years, I was the youth pastor, and then after that, I went to Nepal as a missionary to train young leaders for church planting. And after 7 years, we got back and became the senior pastors of the church. And just 2 years ago, we handed over to the young leadership that we raised up. And right now, we are basically doing what we are preaching later on. Okay? And I want to say that what KLBC has been doing over the years through the Baptist Convention of Nepal, God has really caused the Baptist churches in Nepal to flourish. And many churches have been planted through the seminary that KLBC has been supporting. Okay? So some of you may not know, you just see it on the missions brochure, but you don't know what's happening, the results on the ground. And today, just last year, during COVID, the Baptist churches in Nepal planted 25 new churches, okay, during COVID. And so that is amazing how the Lord is extending His kingdom through His people with the partnership of churches like KLBC. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for what You are doing in our midst. We thank You that You are still at work, and we thank You the mission is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It never changes, Lord. We change, but Father, I pray that we will change for good. We will change to fit into the mission that You have called us into. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. My title of my sharing this morning is called Becoming a Missional Church. Becoming a Missional Church. How many of you know my favorite line in both these churches, KLBC in Bukit Bintang and Desa Park City, is that line? Life is mission. You know, without purpose, without vision, people perish. And for us, our faith is meaningless if we don't have the mission from our Lord Himself. Now, if you realize, I added our Lord Himself, because a lot of us have mission in life. And our mission sometimes may not be the same as Christ's mission. Are you here with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? And many times, that's the reason why we get strayed and lost in the maze. Life is like a maze. And if our mission is all mixed up, we get lost. And it's so important for us to check constantly. I am thankful that the church has a sign right on top. Every Sunday when you come in, every time you come into this church, when you see that sign, it's time to check. A sign is to remind us. A sign is to show us. A sign that has caused us to check. Lord, is my mission and Your mission the same? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so important because very easily we can get strayed away. Very easily we can get lost. Even with a GPS, you still can miss a turning. How many of you know that? How many of you it has happened to you? Please put up your hand so that I feel comfortable. Okay? I miss turns in KL a lot. Okay? And that's because sometimes, you know, the signs are not so clear. But with a GPS, come on, how can you get lost with a GPS? Yes, I can. Thank God there are other people who are at the same standard as me. I feel comforted. You know, so that's very important to respond so that you can encourage others. In the same way, mission, we can get lost when we don't understand what is Jesus' mission. First of all, what is the meaning of missional? The meaning of missional is a special assignment, okay? A special assignment given to a person or a group, you know, an agent on a secret mission. How many of you watch Mission Impossible? Yeah, but thank God the mission doesn't self-destruct. Amen? After 2,000 years, it's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it is also a combat operation assigned to a person or a military unit. This is the meaning for the word missional. And the Great Commission is the missional assignment for every disciple of Jesus, regardless of whatever denomination or whatever background, whatever skin color, whatever language, whatever culture we come from. The missional assignment for everyone who calls Jesus is our Lord is the same. If you respond, I preach better. Okay? Can I? Let's engage. Amen? And so it's so important for you and me to understand what it means to become a missional church. How can you be in an army and not follow the commands of your commanding officer? You know, this morning as I was sitting and singing the songs, the first question that I came to my heart is this: are you a liar? I say this again. The first question that came to my heart as I was singing this, are you a liar? Because sometimes we can say those words that we sing, but it may not be what we actually believe. You know, there's a song, Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth. You remember that song? How many of you know that song is not an easy song to sing, if you know the meaning? Ends of the earth? Some of us cannot even come for a life group because traffic is bad. If it is raining, hey, forget about Sunday service. What am I singing? You know, honestly, I ask myself that question. When I said the song that we sang, the first song, The King, the second song, To Our Lord Jesus, as our captain and host, as to give glory unto Him, I have to ask myself this question: Lord, do I really take your command seriously? Do I live for that command? A soldier, by hook or crook, needs to follow the command and order of his commanding officer. No question asked. The reason why Alexander the Great almost conquered the known world at the time, because he had soldiers who do not question. Today, we got to ask this question. How, we have to ask ourselves, and not the commanding officer. How can we actually become missional if we have so many reasons not to become one? And so, with that, I want to present to you five things that I believe can be helpful for every church to become missional for Jesus. First of all, missional church requires prevailing prayer. Okay? It's not a one-time thing. It's not twice, but prevailing. In Philippians chapter 5, chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, it says this: the Lord is at hand. Is that the same scripture? Yeah. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, listen to this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus. He says, pray without anxiety. Pray every time. Pray without ceasing. Don't pray only when there is a problem. Don't pray only when you see the newsletter from your missionary saying, I have visa problem. Are you here with me? You know, a lot of us have fridge, right? How many of you have fridge? How many have missionaries' prayer card on your fridge? Please put up your hand. Hey, nobody got prayer cards nowadays. All on WhatsApp. Okay? It's good to have some old-fashioned stuff, okay? Have those prayer cards there. Why? Because you go to the fridge quite often. And that's the reason why when you go to the fridge, you look at those faces each day so that you can pray for your missionaries. Friends, listen. Besides giving money, the most important thing that people on the field need is prayer. And it's prevailing prayer. How many of you like people praying for you daily? Put up your hand. Hey, that one is powerful, no? Okay? Especially children. Your parents pray for you daily. Am I right? In the same way, when a church adopts missionaries, the church needs to be praying constantly for their missionary. One of the churches that I found that was really a church that is missional is because every day they challenge their families to pray for their missionaries. Besides praying for their church, they pray for their missionaries at mealtime every day. I went to one particular life group in a church where children gathered together, 5-6 year olds, and pray for missionaries. Man, that is missional to the core. And it's so important to do that. Why? Because we're taking the commandments of our master seriously. Some of us are called to go. Some of us are called to stay and support. And one of the first support is needed for missions is prayer, prevailing prayer without anxiety. So that the people on the field can have the peace and the presence of Christ in their situation. How many of you understand that? You know, there was an area in Nepal when I was there, we were trying to reach out in that area. For 70 years before us, missionaries have been going in and couldn't do anything in that place because it's one of the most demonic areas in Nepal. Okay, I don't have time to tell all the stories, but it was demonic. DUMC has visited there, Pastor Kevin. Okay, it's in Dumre. So when I went there, the guy that I trained was a young man, 25 years old, and then we sent him to the most terrible place, that is Dumre, to plant church. And he would say, Pastor, you know, nothing is happening here. They couldn't even get a place to start their service. They had about 3 or 4 believers, and they got a chicken coop. You know chicken coop, no? Chicken coop, it smelled like crazy. I was the guest speaker. You know, I love this kind of churches. It's really nice. But I used to speak in a chicken coop in Nepal. And so we prayed. We asked God, we can't do this. This is really tough. One of the things in that area is many people were demon-possessed. There would be people walking in the streets naked. Naked, you know, friends. because they're demon-possessed. And so, one day, as this pastor was praying and asking God to show what to do in this area, you know, he prayed for many years. And then finally, the Holy Spirit that morning spoke to him and said, "You remember, there was one guy who's been demon-possessed forever." You know, he had hair, you know, I don't know why. He doesn't look like human beings. You know, so he would walk naked. And the Lord said to him, "Go and pray for him." And this young man, he was like, "Am I hearing God or what? Am I hearing myself?" Now, they have never done all these kind of things. They have not gone for deliverance class, breakthrough class, nothing of that sort. Okay, so he just went, he just believed, he just trusted. After praying, he got an answer. So he went, he prayed for this guy. Bam! He was set free. After 30 plus years, walking naked in the streets in that particular town. Now, everybody knows this guy because he's the oldest demon-possessed person. And when he was transformed, he became the elder of the church. In the chicken coop. And what happened was, his life was such a testimony that people in that region started coming to know the Lord. The funny thing is this, the Hindu priests who used to do deliverance, they call them like Bomola, that does deliverance, will do referrals. When he cannot deliver, he will say, "Go to the church, they will do it. Go referrals some more, don't play. And today, there are more than 7 churches planted in that area out of that one church. It all started through prayer. Friends, this doesn't just work for missions. It works for your life. Are you going to the Lord in prayer? There's a hymn that says, "What great privilege we often forfeit when we don't go to the Lord in prayer." Prayer. First thing to become missional is prevailing prayer. In 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence which we have in Him, that if we ask anything," listen, we always focus on asking anything, but the key thing is this: according to His will, He hears us. We focus on asking anything and He hears us. We forget about according to His will. It has to be according to His will, His missional call. Amen? Second thing, to become a missional church is to be missional demands a desperate dependence on God. Okay. They've changed the slides for me. So, to be missional means it demands a desperate dependence on God. You know what's desperate dependence? I would like to do a demonstration, but I can't. If I want to do a demonstration, what is desperate dependence is I will take a big basin full of water. I will bring the worship leader and put his head inside there and hold it there for a while. The moment I release him, what do you think will happen? Yeah, he will take a deep breath. He will be desperate for what? Air. We sang that song, something about breathing. "You are my breath." Remember that? And that's exactly what it means. To be desperate dependence on God. You know, one of the things about Jesus is this. When you read about Jesus, it says always early in the morning He will go for prayer. Am I right? Am I right? And then late in the evening, you also go to a solitary place to pray. So the first point I said, prevailing prayer. We see that in Jesus' life, in His missional call. He said, "I came to do my Father's will. And he prayed constantly without ceasing. But we also realize he said this. He said, I only do what my Father does. I only do what I see my Father does. So his dependence was on the Father. His actions are determined by what the Father does. That's why in missions, if we're going to be a successful missional church, we got to be seeing what the Father is doing, not what the other church is doing. Are you here with me? It's so crucial. You know, people ask me, how is it possible in 7 years you were able to do what you did in Nepal? Now, in Nepal, our guys, the people that we have trained, we trained 93 leaders, young leaders. 47 churches were planted in less than 2 years. And today, that churches has multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. We really don't know. We can't count anymore. It's not our work, friends. I wasn't born with such wisdom. But it is depending on the Father, looking at what He's doing and flowing with it. You know, Nepal has a lot of rivers. Try swimming upstream. It's almost impossible. But try flowing with the current. You know, whitewater rafting? Nobody goes against the stream. They just flow with the current. Okay? And so Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 7, you know, about the vine and the branches. But I just want to read the last, fifth verse. It says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Friends, it's not just missions. In every area of our lives, if we want to do something meaningful, we got to depend and abide in him. That's why I said whether our mission and his mission is same or not. Because when it's our mission, we try to do things our way. Am I right? And after a while, we get tired. We get worn out. We find no meaning in life. We can have all the money in the world and yet not find meaning in life. We can have all the success in life and yet no meaning in life. How many of you know Leslie Cheung? A famous artist from Hong Kong. I used to work in the hotel industry and I used to serve him. He used to come to Penang a lot. And one day after during his world tour actually, he just killed himself. You know, I had personal contact with him because I was his personal butler. Okay? And so I have met him, I have talked with him. He looked normal. And then one day I read in the newspaper, he killed himself. It made me realize you can have everything in life, but if your mission is not same with the Master, it is meaningless. It is meaningless. So that's the reason why we need to abide in Him and He in us so that we can find meaning in what we are doing, meaning for our existence. You know, with so many needs around us, especially post-COVID, the missional demand is really getting really great. And unless we depend on God, we can't go very far. You remember the story of Elijah? Elijah really had to depend on God. You know, when he was afraid and he ran off, he was in the wilderness, God sent ravens. to feed him. And he brought a stream to flow next to him so that he can drink of it. And then when that dried up, he sent him to a widow, of all people, to a widow, a Zarephath, to feed him from the last portion of flour that she had. When I read that story, there's one thing that I see about God and in his pattern. No matter where and what we are doing for him, he will always want us to depend on him. Are you here with me? This is the prophet who stops the rain, no? For 3 years. And then he speaks, the rain comes back. But yet, for his soul survival, he had to depend on God to provide for him. And through very unlikely sources, a raven and a widow. Sometimes very malu, you know. Want to go to a widow, it can give me some food or not. This is the man of God. That is one of the ways how God has to make us realize that in everything that we do, we got to depend on him. To become a missional church means partnering with God to send out leaders. If you realize, I put there, leaders, not just the ones that we don't want. The troublemakers in the church, send them to mission. Give more problem to the pastor, send to Afghanistan. Our favorite one, Hawaii. Least favorite, where? Afghanistan. So that we don't have to support very long. No. I said it here, leaders. Why leaders? Why leaders? Because we need to learn to send our best. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38, it says this. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Laborers into his harvest. I used the word partnering with God. How do we partner with God? We partner with God by intentionally discipling and sending the people who are called to the field. You see, not everybody is called to the field. Can I hear amen? No. Some of us are called to provide for the workers in the field. You remember in the tribes of Israel, one tribe was set aside to serve God, the Levites. But 11 tribes, God blessed them. So that they can provide to the house of God, so that the house of God will not go empty. Are you here, church? And in partnering with God, we need to know how to prepare our Levites, lah. How to disciple them, how to prepare them according to their call, and release them to do the work of God. And it is so important that the churches become intentional in doing that, not accidental. I say intentional. Disciple making is intentional. That's the reason why we started, my wife and I started in 1995, a program called School of Youth Ministry. We train young people, okay, in the church during their break, STPM break and SPM break. You know, in those days, they would have about 2.5 months break before they go into Form 6. So when I was a youth pastor, all these kids had nothing to do. But today, all the kids got something to do. They seem to have always something to do. You know? But what happened was, when we started this program, for 2.5 months, they come through this program, discipleship program, and then they go for mission trips. And many of them, when they return, their lives are transformed. We send them to the most difficult places for mission. When they come back, they look at their mother's cooking in a different way. Mommy, thank you. Oh, mommy, wash clothes. Mommy, thank you. Someone can even say thank you to the maid one. This is good or not? Their lives transform. Because they're intentionally trained. But the amazing thing is, what we did in our local church has become such a Baptist thing now that in the convention, that one of the biggest things that we talk about is SYM, School of Youth Ministry. It was started in Sarawak, and started in Sabah. Pastor Saripa, whom you are supporting, is one of the key person. And Shalom Church is one of the key churches in helping us in training Bahasa speaking young people. Today, we have sent our first two Iban missionaries cross-culturally. Amen? First two, Baptist history. And we have set up an organization called Huayu International Missions in partnership with Taiwan Chinese Baptist Convention and Malaysian Baptist Convention, and many other Asian Baptist conventions are coming together. Right now, we are sending missionaries just like the Southern Baptists set up IMB. And today, the Baptists are doing it because it is reverse mission. It's time where God is saying to the Asians for you to take the Word of God. How many of you know it's not easy being white in some part of the world? Do you understand that? But I tell you this, it's very easy being Chinese and Indian. We can go to many more places without losing our head. Are you here with me? And so in the slide you saw, the last part where I will be standing with a lot of Asians, yeah, we do training for a lot of Asians. I stopped there because is this online? Oh, it's not online. Oh, praise God. I train mainland Chinese, Taiwanese, Koreans to be sent out as missionary. Guess who's our partner? KLBC. Amen? Thank you very much for helping us train, equip, and go. Without churches like you, we actually cannot go. Honestly, mission is getting very expensive. But because churches like you that believe in missions, God is extending the kingdom of God. Amen? Very quickly now, wow, time has passed over. Sorry, brother. Okay. To be missional requires thinking outside of the box. You know, how many businessmen here? Don't be shy, lah. One businessman only, two businesswomen. Anybody else? Everybody else works for who? Okay, three. We need to pray for more business people in this church. One of the things about business people, to be successful, you got to be thinking outside of the box. You got to do things that others don't do. You cannot start burger store, burger store, burger store, burger store, which happens in Malaysia. Okay, if you have a burger store, you should be, you know, opening a store that supplies burger meat or drinks or whatever it is. Thinking outside the box. And mission is changing. Today, missionaries don't dress or look like missionaries anymore. Are you here with me? We have to send IT engineers into certain areas of the world. We have to send teachers. Teachers are the most amazing profession. Do you know that? Special needs teachers. That's the reason why our daughter, who can do medicine, you know, Indians only know two things. Medicine, law. Chinese know what? Accounting, engineering. And so, Indian, medicine, law. Successful means medicine, law. Oh, these two, very powerful. But when we looked at it and I said, Lord, what do you want to do, darling? Teacher. Why? Why, teacher? Because I want to be a missionary. Do you know that she can go to any country in the world as a special needs teacher? Any country with her qualification. So I'm not just preaching about this. We're living it out. We got to live outside of the box. And she doesn't have to raise funds. Because as a special needs teacher, she's paid really well in international schools. Number five, to be a missional means believing that resources flow to missions. Friends, one of the church that is well used I've ever seen is KLBC. I'm not sure about Desa Park City yet. But KLBC, every day got something on it. So the building is worthwhile. DUMC, every day well used. So when we build something, it has to be missional. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? It has to be well used. But also the resources, after we have built it, we got to believe that the resources need to flow in extending the kingdom of God. This is what the scripture says in Acts chapter 4:33-34. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy, there was not a needy person among them. For as many as were possessors of lands and or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. Friends, not one person was needy. This is God's economic system. The early church understood what it means to flow the resources into the mission field. Amen? One of my best friends, who's a businessman, one of the things he does is to give 50% of his proceeds to the extension of God's kingdom. And you know what? The other 50% never stops growing. Never. Chinese brother. Mainland China. Amazing. And he's also a pastor. He's also a missional trainer. He's also a businessman. He's everything. Pao kaliao. That's Hokkien or Cantonese? Hokkien. Okay. Pao kaliao. Okay. And I end with this. When we know our role, our mission, we will not be confused. There are senders and there are goers. Those of us who are here, you are senders. And those who go are goers. And I pray that you understand this part. How many of you have been to America? How many of you have been to Chick-fil-A? Only one. Chick-fil-A, two. Chick-fil-A is the largest fast food joint in America. It's bigger than KFC, it's bigger than McDonald's, it's bigger than most joints. Chick-fil-A is the favorite for Americans. But one of the things, for me, chicken is chicken lah. You understand what I'm saying? Chicken is chicken. However you do it is chicken. But Americans are crazy about Chick-fil-A. But I realized one of the reasons why. I began to research and I found out that the founder of Chick-fil-A is a very committed Christian. And he has certain principles that will glorify God and missions. One of the reasons why IMB has been blessed so much is because Chick-fil-A is one of the biggest givers to the mission of the Southern Baptists. And so I saw the partnership between business and mission, the senders and the goers, a church in order to be a missional church, needs to learn how to flow the resources in the kingdom of God. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. We know that time has passed us by. I want to pray for all our brothers and sisters in this congregation. Lord, we thank you for their lives. We thank you that many of them are amazing givers who have all these years been committed to giving to the mission of KLBC. Father, we thank you for KLBC that has been faithfully providing for different nations, especially in Nepal. I can see it for myself. Over the years that they have been providing for the Bible school, for the convention itself, for the church planting, without fail, faithfully giving, not changing here and there, but faithfully giving, sowing and waiting for the seed to grow and produce fruit. That patience that you have given to this church, Lord, we thank you. And we pray that you will bless this church. Bless the people of this church who believe in your mission. May Desa Park City become truly a missional church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.